Welcome to Copyright Clearance Center's podcast series. I'm Christopher Keneally for Velocity of Content. It's Friday, March 25th, 2022. Today, as we do each week, we check in with Publishers Weekly on news from the world of books and publishing. Andrew Albanese, PW Senior Writer, joins me with his reporting and editorial analysis. Welcome back to the program, Andrew.
Hey there, Chris.
So publishing is on the road again, Andrew. Well, certainly Publishers Weekly is on the road. Your colleague Ed Nowotka has been reporting from the Bologna Book Fair in Italy, and you are heading to Portland, Oregon for the Public Library Association conference.
Yeah, it's a sign of good things to come, I hope, as you know, I'll be in Portland shortly, and my colleague Ed Nowotka is in Bologna in Italy. Good for him. He filed a brief report in which it sounds like the Bologna Book Fair is, as expected, smaller and a little quieter, but it sure sounds like people are thrilled to be back. I think also bolstering people's moods in Bologna is that the publishers there, after 2 long years away, are coming back after having had 2 really strong sales years. We talked a little bit about the numbers last week, but as Ed notes in his story, several publishers told him that they really did see a surge in sales in 20 and 2021, and here's to hoping that continues into 2022. There are lots of concerns as well, of course, starting with Ukraine. There's apparently lots of blue and yellow ribbons, as well as invocations to stop the war and stand with Ukraine, seen all over the Bologna Book Fair. Ed reports that copyright issues are also apparently on people's minds, with more accusations that big tech is up to their old tricks and lobbying to weaken copyright laws, though I'm not sure exactly what specifically in Ed's report that refers to. Maybe this is just a generic shot at big tech, as we're likely to hear at many of these conferences going forward.
PublishersWeekly.com this week also features a London Book Fair preview. That show is set to hold its in-person fair April 5th through the 7th, the first one in 3 years.
Yeah, and I'm sad to say that I actually won't be there for this year's fair, unfortunately. Our listeners might recall that the fair was canceled abruptly in 2020, just a week before it was scheduled to start. And then it came through as a virtual event, small virtual event in 2021. And now industry members are returning to London. Fair organizers say they have high expectations for 2022, even if it surely can't be going straight back to the form that it was in 2019. As Ed Nowotka reports, the number of exhibitors registered for this year's London Book Fair is 860, and I think that's a really respectable number, even if it is less than the more than 1,000 that were registered at the last London Book Fair before COVID, which was 2019. Currently, 156 of those exhibitors are from the U.S., and I expect we'll see more exhibitors from the U.S. in the coming years once we get this fair under our belt. Fairgoers will also see numerous changes this year in London, not the least of which being a renovated Olympia London Exhibition Center. That apparently has necessitated some layout changes for the fair. I'll be interested to see that when I finally get back myself. LBF will still retain many of the features that make it distinct, including things like the Authors HQ, which this year, again, is sponsored by Kindle Direct Publishing. In all, organizers expect about 15,000 to 20,000 attendees. It's a fairly big range, but let me tell you, that would be huge if they can pull that off. If they can get 15,000 to the London Book Fair, that would be an enormous success. The U.S. houses, of course, are going to be participating, but largely through their U.K. operations, though I'm sure a handful of executives and rights people are going to be on hand for the fair this year. This year's fair will also be the first for Andy Ventris, who's overseeing his first fair, having taken over the role of fair director in November 2020 following the resignation of Jax Thomas, who, of course, had been running the London Book Fair since 2013 and who now oversees the Bologna Books Plus program of the Bologna Children's Book Fair. In all, London Book Fair this year is going to host 120 events, different seminars, presentations, and panels. The fair's main stage is presenting a series of panels that are focusing on best practices and trends in book publishing as they usually do. But this year, the panels are going to include things like COVID-19, what's next for publishing. And there's going to be other panels about COVID-related topics as well, like one on the future of hybrid work, all very important discussions for the industry to be having, and I think good to be having at an international book fair. The International Publishers Association is also going to be sponsoring 3 sessions, which are going to be focused on sustainability in book publishing. So I'm sure people will be very interested in that. And of course, there's the war in Ukraine, is once again going to be on everybody's minds in London. And the London Book Fair issued a statement condemning the Russian invasion while also expressing some sympathy with Russian publishing employees who are, according to the statement, working in challenging conditions. The organizers said that by mutual agreement, there's not going to be a Russian pavilion at the fair this year, and that they were in conversation with the Ukrainian Book Institute to find a way to showcase books from that country in London. But look, I think the big story, whatever happens at the fair and whatever goes on with the program, the big story is that there is going to be a London Book Fair this year. You know, some in the U.S., as Ed Nowacker reports, have expressed doubt that Read Exhibitions, which previously ran Book Expo and BookCon, was going to continue to support the London Book Fair. But Andy Ventra says he is confident that the 2022 fair will eliminate any doubt at all that the London Book Fair is here to stay.
The Public Library Association is the second largest division of the American Library Association, Andrew, and its biennial show has long been a popular one, going back to the start in the early 1980s. The PLA community must be excited to be getting together again in Portland, and I imagine you're excited too.
It's a very popular show indeed, PLA. In fact, it was the last major in-person library conference before COVID hit. PLA 2020, I think, drew almost 9,000 people to Nashville, Tennessee, and it literally closed on the day that the first COVID death was reported in the U.S. I think it was February 29th, 2020. And the show routinely drew about 8,000 to previous events. This year, I think in Portland, we're looking at more like 4,000, ALA leaders say, but it sounds like the 4,000 who will be there are going to be very eager and excited to be together again. And me too, as you say, I'm very excited to be there as well. And again, like as with London, as with Bologna, I think the big deal is that there's going to be a conference after all. And I think this is a valuable experience for ALA ahead of what is setting up to be what I think is a really important meeting at the ALA annual conference in Washington, D.C. So the fact that that Washington, D.C. conference in June is not going to be the first one they pulled off is going to be helpful, I think. And like I said, that is going to be a very important. It's an election year, ALA annual conference, the first one in 3 years. There's a lot that will be up for discussion at that meeting. I think that's going to be a very important show. And while the show in Portland, I think, is definitely going to be a feel-good moment, the library community also has some serious work to do, and I'm definitely expecting that a lot of that work is going to be advanced while we're in Portland.
And so what topics do you expect the public library community to take on at the conference?
Yeah, so obviously you have the big national issues, right? And this year we have a big one, and that's the proliferation of book banning and various laws in states that are seeking to criminalize librarians for sharing with certain people in various communities might consider inappropriate books. You know, and this is a big deal. We've spoken about it on this show. You've probably seen the headlines in a lot of different media outlets. This is a dangerous moment for libraries. And frankly, it's a tough moment for them to be in because, you know, we've also discussed on the show in the past that this book banning movement is really less about banning the books than it is about motivating the right for an upcoming election. It's about the culture wars. And it's a tough spot for librarians and libraries, which I would point out Americans tend to value, right? They trust librarians, they trust local libraries. But here we are having libraries drawn into this ginned up, craven political battle over books. You know, what's being taught in certain curriculums, what's being, you know, shared on library shelves. And, you know, that old let's put out a statement and fight it that way strategy, that's just not going to get the job done here. It's a complicated issue that librarians are facing. And it's going to take a little work to get this one taken care of. Obviously, digital access is going to be a huge issue. We've been talking about the lawsuit in Maryland over the library ebook law there. And we've also spoken about the proliferation of similar library ebook laws in other states. Obviously, the library community had a setback in court in Maryland, but I'm told they remain committed to the issue, which is the issue is not, as the AAP would have you believe, to undermine copyright. That's really not what librarians are trying to do here. The issue is equitable access to digital books. And that discussion is going to be front and center in Portland, I can promise you. But what I'm really going to watch in Portland, what I think is really important is, yeah, we're all happy to be getting on a plane and going and being together again after 2 long years away. But library workers really took it in the teeth during the pandemic, if I can be blunt. In fact, library workers were under immense pressure before the pandemic, but the pandemic just took things to a whole new level. So, you know, we all saluted the heroic work of librarians in the early days of the pandemic. But the reality remains that frontline library workers are still under incredible pressure. You know, many during the pandemic had to choose between losing their jobs and putting their lives and their families at risk to go to work. And that burden was not shared equally. So it is great that we're all getting together, and it's great that the library community is going to be together again in Portland. But I think frontline library workers need more than a moment of thanks at this conference, right? I think there needs to be a serious discussion about the welfare of library workers going forward. And I think that, you know, taking care of the library workforce has to be front and center for the library community in Portland. So I'm really looking forward to hearing more about that discussion while I'm there.
All right, then. Andrew Albanese, Publishers Weekly senior writer. Have a great trip, and thanks for joining me on the program today.
My pleasure, as always.
Coming up on the next podcast from CCC, on April 12th and 13th, the Oxford World English Symposium will explore the many varieties of English spoken around the globe, Nigerian and Indian English, as well as Irish and Jamaican English. Oxford University Press, the organizers of the Oxford World English Symposium, expect the conference proceedings to help develop dictionaries that recognize the diversity of English. Casper Grathwohl is president, Oxford Languages, and academic product director at OUP.
There is still debate over what is considered a variety of English and how detailed you go with that categorization. But our goal at Oxford Languages is to track all varieties of global English. And we now have the technological tools in which to do that. And so our ability to understand what's happening in Hong Kong English right now versus how South African English is developing regionally, we are able to undertake that analysis and pull from that the insights that allow us to build tools that are very customized for English speakers in different parts of the world.
Oxford World English Symposium Preview, coming on the next CCC podcast. Our producer is Jeremy Briske of Burst Marketing. You can subscribe to the program wherever you go for podcasts, and please do follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. I'm Christopher Keneally. Thanks for listening to this Velocity of Content podcast from CCC.